welcome to the Trust Your Body Project. Trust Your Body Project is a podcast and social media movement designed to help you heal, eat, and create space for the things that truly matter. I'm your host, Whitney Catalano. I'm an anti-diet, health at every size registered dietitian, helping you stop dieting, make peace with your body, and take the power back from your inner bully. Welcome to episode number 19. On today's episode, I'm talking all about emotional eating. I'm going to try to keep this episode as condensed as possible because there's a lot we could talk about with emotional eating, but I kind of want to just cover the basics right now because I haven't gone into it much on this podcast yet. So figured what better week to do that than when I am doing a podcast episode super last minute, and this is one of my favorite topics. So for those of you who don't know, emotional eating is like probably the biggest thing that I help people with. And obviously, like, everyone calls it something different. So some of you might come to me for feeling like you're addicted to food. Some of you might come to me because you know that you're ready to stop dieting. You've heard of intuitive eating. And some of you really struggle with eating emotionally. And you feel like there's something wrong with you because you can't stop eating when you're emotional. And you've tried all the things. You've tried hiding the food and whatnot. And then you see me on Instagram, you hear my podcast, whatever. I talk a lot about emotions, a lot about feeling your feelings. I've always been a big proponent of feeling your feelings, even if I'm sometimes not necessarily the best at it, but I've gotten better. Okay. This is all part of the growing process, is like understanding where you need to improve. So first, this podcast is not brought to you by anyone, but it could be. So share it with your friends, share it with your family, give it to everyone so that I can get those downloads up and I can get some sponsorships, and you all can be so proud of me that I'm out here really podcasting like it's my job. I mean, technically it's part of my job, but you know, you get it. Please, 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 please leave a review on Apple Podcasts. I really should keep a list of the names I've read. I think we left off at Allie K, Rebecca E88, Kimma is awesome. And the last one, the person DM'd me and said to not read this name because she was commenting on like her boyfriend or something's account. And then the name popped up and was super embarrassed because it's a really funny name. So I'm going to respect it and say, you know who you are. Thanks for leaving a review. All right, here we go. And a quick disclaimer that the information in this podcast is for informational and educational purposes only, is not a substitute for individual medical or mental health advice. Okay, so let me just update you on me really quickly. The reason why I'm such a space case right now, the reason why I am so tired, is because I literally move into my new apartment tomorrow. As you can see, especially in LA, I feel like this process happened so fast. It was just barely 3 weeks ago that I was looking for a place, and now I'm moving in, which is what I wanted. I wanted a really short turnaround time because once I get it in my head that I was ready to move, that, you know, I'd figured out the finances of it and I was like, I was ready to go, I wanted it to just happen, because the longer things draw out for me, the more frustrating and anxiety inducing it becomes. And of course, that's something I could work on internally, but here we are doing my best, okay? So that's happening tomorrow. On Monday, which you'll actually be listening to this on Tuesday. So on Monday, which was yesterday for you, the 5-day Trust Your Body Challenge is starting, which I am so unbelievably excited for. After everything that went down with the Nike mannequin, and I'm sure a lot of you saw my post on Instagram about that, I wanted to include a component in this challenge where there is a little, you know, learning how to advocate, learning how to be an ally if you're not fat, or if you are, just learning how to speak on this stuff. And yeah, so I'm including little sound bites for you all. So you'll find that out this week. But for those of you who are doing the challenge, thank you so much for joining it. I'm really, really excited. And this is obviously, I'm recording this before the challenge, but I was, you know, fine tuning all the emails last night, and I'm really excited about it. I think you're really going to like it. The other news that I have is I just announced on Instagram on Thursday that I am launching a new membership site. It's called Club TYB. It's coming up in a few weeks, and I'm just putting the finishing touches on it now. Basically, it is a live Q&A membership site. So every other week, you will get to attend live streams if you're available at the time that I do them, Otherwise, all of the answers to your questions will be archived in the membership site. So you submit your questions, you know, a day or two in advance. I'm going to go through and sort of organize them and then respond to them in a live stream. And so anyone who shows up on the live stream, I'll be able to answer questions that you may have while you're there. And then if not, you'll get all the archived content. So I'm very excited about that. You're going to find out more information soon. Club TYB is also going to have a Facebook group. You're going to get exclusive discounts and stuff to future events that I'm doing, which is another little like sneaky hint on what's going on with me. But yeah, so that is coming very, very soon. This was the brainchild of my Patreon. Basically, for those of you who have been listening since the beginning, you know that I had a Patreon for a little while and then I ended up closing it down because it just didn't feel aligned for me anymore. So this is actually the evolution of that, but with way less components, because I feel like Patreon was very scattered. There was a lot going on, a lot that I couldn't keep up with, and it wasn't serving you all as well as it could. Whereas this membership site, I have total control over it. I get to make it exactly what I know I can handle and what I enjoy the most, which is actually answering your questions live. I love going on Instagram Live and doing that. I love doing it on my stories. So this is a way for me to really support you all in your journey. And if you join Club TYB at this first launch, because I'm going to close it at the end of the launch. So if you join Club TYB at this first launch, I'm actually going to do a 5-week mini course for free. I'm throwing that in as a bonus to teach you like the 5 pillars of food freedom, according to how I teach them. So that's something you can look for. If you are brand new to intuitive eating, if you're still dieting, if you're still, you know, not really sold on this whole thing, Club TYB is definitely not going to be for you. It's for people who are already on this journey, who have done a lot of learning themselves and who just need more support, need questions answered, feel stuck. So for those of you who are listening to this podcast, who are learning a lot, maybe reading books, maybe, you know, working with a professional or not, Club TYB is going to be your sort of online community and support system for the continuation of your journey. So I'm really excited about that. Every time I talked, I kept putting off doing it. And then every time I talked to someone about it, I would get so excited. And finally, a bunch of my friends who own businesses, they were like, Whitney, you got to just do it. Like, go do the membership site. I was like, okay. So here it is. It's coming. I'm really excited. So you're going to find out, or you're going to hear more about that very, 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 very soon. All right, so let's get into it, shall we? Okay, so to start out, what is emotional eating? Most people think emotional eating is a bad thing, but it's not inherently bad. And we actually have recent research and reviews of the literature that have said, you know, we used to think that emotional eating is bad, but actually emotional eating happens in response to positive emotions and negative emotions, or what we perceive as positive and negative emotions. I'm a big believer that like all emotions are good. I think they all serve a purpose, but whatever. You get what I'm saying. So yeah, emotional eating is both, you know, in response to positive and negative emotions. You can, as you see in the movies, like eat a pint of ice cream when you get broken up with, or it can be eating cake for a birthday, or it can be eating out of excitement or going to celebrate with food. So emotional eating is just eating because you're responding to emotions, and you can also be hungry. Like you can emotionally eat when you're hungry. You can emotionally eat when you're not hungry. So it's not just this sort of demonized idea of emotional eating that it's only overeating. It's only when you're not hungry. It's only like, nah. Like there's so much more to emotional eating. So that's the first thing I want to say, is that it's not a bad thing. And I actually don't believe that emotional eating in response to sad emotions or stress or whatever, coping, is bad either. So emotional eating, the reason why it develops is because, I mean, for starters, our brains really like food. Makes sense. Yeah, that, I mean, I hope everyone's on board with that, that our brains love food. Our bodies love food. And therefore, our brains are like, yeah, give me more of that life-sustaining substance, like need it. Substance, I'm pretty sure that's a combination of two words. Anyway, so our brains love food, and we automatically have a reward system, a dopamine reward system in our brains around food, because food keeps us alive. And we like food that keeps us alive. We like things that keep us alive. So this is something that is just built inside of us. One of the reasons why emotional eating can develop, you know, a big reason why, is because somewhere along the way, we like food so much, or we have some sort of reward system built around food. And then we use food to cope with sad emotions, right? And so when I talk about emotional eating in this episode, I am only going to talk about like the quote negative emotions that brings about emotional eating, because that's the part that usually people want to fix. And I'm here to tell you that you don't have to fix it, but I'm going to explain that in a second. So emotional eating develops as a way of coping because it releases dopamine in the brain and it helps make us feel better. Food also has the things in it, the compounds, the molecules, whatever in it, to create things like serotonin and to give us energy and all of these things that our body needs to feel better when we're not feeling good. So there's a bunch of reasons why food is a really common coping mechanism. So one of the interesting things that we found is that people with a history of restrained eating, and that's what it's called in the literature. What that really means is people with a history of dieting or trying to manage your weight, quote unquote, or trying to restrict yourself around certain food are actually more likely to emotionally eat than people with no history of dieting. So that's why it is so common and goes hand in hand with recovering from dieting or breaking free from dieting, because there is this sort of like reward system around eating, especially when you diet, that shows up when we're trying to suppress emotions. And this is just a correlation that we found. And actually, one of the things that was interesting to read about was people with, you know, if there's two groups of people with a history of restrained eating or dieting, and people with no history of dieting, the people with no history of dieting actually tended to have less of an appetite than when they're feeling emotional. And people with a history of dieting tended to have more of an appetite and to turn to food when they're feeling emotional, which is interesting because I, you know, when I first read that, I immediately thought of one of my best friends from college who has a very normal relationship with food, and she's not hungry when she's emotional. And I never understood it. I was like, how? And at that point I was really deep in my emotional eating. So like, I don't understand how you just, I thought she was lying. Like I literally thought that she was lying to my face. And then turns out, you know, that's just kind of common in someone who has no history of dieting. Does that mean that's true for every single person who's never been on a diet? No. Does that mean that's true for every single person who's been on a diet? No. I work with clients who don't struggle with emotional eating. But for the most part, I'd say my clients in particular, the people who are drawn to me, tend to have a long history of emotional eating. And specifically, I tend to see a lot of people whose emotional eating developed when they were children in response to trauma, chaotic family environments, parents who didn't make them feel safe to feel their feelings. And by that, I don't mean necessarily abuse or anything like that, although I do work with people with that level of trauma. I just mean people whose parents were never given permission to feel feelings either, were brought up in a way that was like, you don't get to have feelings and always be perfect and don't let anyone ever see your problems. And so they just pass that on to their kids. And that's just what it is. I mean, I feel like that's so common, unfortunately, and it's starting to change, but only when people really do the work to heal all of that stuff, because there's a lot there, right? So then these kids, somewhere along the way, in response to all of this, learn to use food to cope and learn to use food to suppress and numb and disassociate in more extreme cases, which is also why emotional eating and binge eating can go hand in hand, right? Because if you're using food to cope with your emotions and then afterwards you're feeling guilty about it and then you restrict and then binging, as I've explained before, have I explained this before? I don't know, but binging is a response to deprivation, right? So if you're dieting in response to your emotional eating, then you end up binging. It's kind of all gray, right? Like there's blurry lines between all of them. But if you experience them, I'm sure you're familiar with what I'm talking about and can see how it's all connected. So to my point earlier that emotional eating is not a bad thing, here's my thought process on it and here's my perspective. And feel free to disagree with me, right? Like you don't have to, especially if you're a clinician or someone doing this kind of work, you don't have to necessarily agree with everything I say. But this is my approach to it. I don't think that emotional eating is really the worst coping mechanism that we could have, right? I know our society has deemed gaining weight as like the worst possible thing you could do for yourself, which is just insane because whatever. That I have lots of opinions on that. But I don't think eating in response to negative emotions or as a coping mechanism to emotions that are hard to deal with or to situations in your life that are hard to deal with is really the worst thing in the world. You know, there's a lot worse ways that you could be coping with your emotions. Using food at least is delicious. Are you typically actually enjoying the food while you're emotionally eating? Probably not. I mean, maybe at the beginning, like that first bite. But at a certain point when we're numbing out, you're not really paying attention to the food. You're just kind of shoving things in there, which I get. It's, I don't want to, you know, make light of it because I was there for years and I really understand how intense and tunnel visioned it is. But yeah, I just don't really think that it's the worst coping mechanism that we could have. Does that mean that we don't want to reduce how much we rely on food? Absolutely not. I don't know if that was a double negative or not, but we're just going to go with it. I do want to help you stop emotional eating. Just because I don't think it's a bad thing doesn't mean that I don't think there's better ways that you can cope with your emotions. For sure, there are better ways, like feeling your feelings and going to therapy and journaling and calling a friend, talking it out, letting yourself cry. All of these things are much better, healthier, more productive ways to cope with your emotions. That does not mean that emotional eating is a bad thing. It just means that there is some room for growth and there's some room for healing. When emotional eating gets problematic, in my opinion, is when emotional eating is one of your only coping mechanisms and you don't ever address the problem underneath. Because what tends to happen, right? We learn that food makes us feel better. We use food to, you know, distract ourselves and to suppress whatever happened, whatever negative emotions are coming up enough until we forget about it and move on. But then all of that stuff is still like buried inside of us. And then the problems just build and build and build. And we're just, every time we feel a glimmer of emotion, we've gotten so scared and so avoidant of our feelings that food becomes the only thing that helps make us feel better. And then what happens? We use dieting, right, as a tool to, quote, fix emotional eating or fix what we perceive as our bodies, fix, quote unquote, what we perceive as our problem with food. When really, whatever problem started the emotional eating in the first place is still there. We still haven't addressed that problem. But now we're caught up in this like huge distraction around our bodies and food, and we're addicted to food, or we're just whatever, X, Y, and Z, whatever story you're telling yourself, that we can kind of get, you know, lost and distracted in focusing on our bodies and completely avoid dealing with the original problem. I believe that when you're young, and if emotional eating for you developed when you're young, yeah, it's not a good thing for sure. Like that's how we develop eating disorders, and that's really, really scary. But the whole eating in response to emotions when you're young and don't know how to communicate or process your emotions, I think honestly, that is such an instinctual reaction to not feeling safe to feel your feelings. And I really want to urge you not to judge that. Your body's just trying to help you out and it's doing the best that it can and it doesn't really know how. So as you get to this point where you're able to deal with whatever happened in your childhood or maybe emotional eating developed in your adulthood, but as you get to this point where you realize, okay, I've been suppressing my emotions for a really long time, it's showing up as regular emotional eating and I really need to deal with this, I hope that whatever way that you choose to deal with your emotions actually addresses the emotions and doesn't just try to restrict food as a way of fixing your emotional eating, because that's not the answer. And it's not going to make you feel better. You will have these coping mechanisms show up in other ways, probably around food in your body, if you treat emotional eating with restriction. That's not addressing the problem. That's putting a Band-Aid on something that goes way deeper than just the eating. So how do we stop emotional eating? That's the question, right? How do we stop emotional eating? Well, you don't actually stop emotional eating because the only way to downregulate, which is the fancy term for use that pathway less. So the only way to downregulate a dopamine pathway that uses food to cope with emotions is to upregulate other pathways, meaning to use more of those pathways to strengthen the pathways that respond to emotions and give you dopamine still, but use a different path to get there. So we've got to just upregulate a different path. One of the things that you can do is just start making a list of all of your other coping mechanisms. One of the biggest things I hear from my clients is, Whitney, I don't have other emotional coping mechanisms. I only use emotional eating. But then when we dig a little deeper, that's actually not true at all. You're just so focused on emotional eating being a problem that you don't realize all the other ways that you cope with your emotions, because you have emotions that you cope with not using food. I guarantee that's happened, but you're just focused. Like, we have a bias to focus on the things that we want to fix. You know, we have a bias to focus on the negative. So if you actually remove the judgment, remove that story that you're telling yourself of like, I'm an emotional eater, I only eat emotionally, or I only whatever, like I only use food to cope with emotions, then you'll see that you do actually have other emotional coping mechanisms, whether it's going for a walk or talking to a friend, or maybe you've journaled here and there. For a lot of us, turning to technology is actually an emotional numbing tool. Is it a good one? I don't know. I really struggle with it too. Like, I think we all don't even realize how much we're struggling with technology being a numbing tool because it's so distracting and fun and pretty, you know, and it gives us connection in other ways, but it's not like real in-person connection. It's this internet connection, which is not the worst thing in the world. There's a lot of value to it, but yeah, I just don't think we necessarily realize like how much we distract with technology, but that is technically an emotional coping mechanism. Again, is it a great one? No, not particularly, but what are we going to do, right? Like, we got to just acknowledge it without judgment and then try to do other things more. One thing about emotional eating is really like the worst thing you can do, in my opinion, in response to emotional eating is to judge yourself and then subsequently isolate yourself. And that's something that is really, really easy to fall into. And I know is something that is like a huge trap around dieting, is that when we end up emotionally eating, we feel really guilty, really ashamed. We start telling ourselves all the horrible things that we think about ourselves. And then we punish ourselves by not going to hang out with friends and, you know, waiting to do this, that, and the other until you get your food stuff fixed or get your body fixed or whatever it is, right? Like, we isolate ourselves and we create even more negative emotions in response to our own thoughts about the fact that we emotionally ate. And that is such a trap. You can spin around in circles in that hole for the rest of your life, or you can remove the judgment. You can say, I refuse to feel bad for emotional eating. You could say, I wonder what it is I'm trying to cope with right now. And then do a little digging, do a little journaling, write out some stuff, and see if you can really get to the root of it. Figure out what it is that you're trying to cope with. Why is the emotional eating showing up? And how can you address the original problem and just move on from the fact that you ate? Because it happened already. Even if you're in the middle of it right now, it happened. We got to just move on. So what can you do to address the original problem and to actually feel your feelings and deal with your feelings in a productive way? And sometimes that's just having a good cry. Other times it's figuring out, you know, there's something in my life that I don't love. Like, how can I take steps to improve it without judging myself for where I'm at right now? So that's my little breakdown on emotional eating. I hope that made sense. I hope that it can help you release a little bit of the judgment around emotional eating and help you start to work towards what it is that's causing you to eat emotionally. I do hope that if therapy or coaching or something like that is going to be a benefit to you healing some of these old wounds when emotional eating first popped up, or maybe when you were younger, all these things, you know, maybe it's just decades of believing a certain thing about your body. I hope you are able to take the steps to get the help, because honestly, it's a lot easier of a process working with someone than it is to try to do this alone. And it's a lot more efficient, and you're going to feel better faster and develop some really helpful tools and skills to deal with your emotions. And that, in my opinion, is like my favorite part of the work that I do with my clients, because I really see like such a major transformation, even just in 2 weeks. You know, we'll talk about emotional coping in one session, and then 2 weeks later, They're completely, like, their mood is improved. They've set boundaries with their friends and family. They've allowed themselves to cry. They've learned how to soothe themselves, like, nah. And it's like night and day. They just look and feel so much emotionally lighter, honestly. And that's what I'm going for, right? Like, screw weight loss. I'm here for you to release some of that emotional tension that you're carrying around, you've been carrying around since you were young. That's that stuff that I'm like, I love my job. So I didn't even say this at the beginning, so perfect timing. If you would like to book a discovery call with me, please do so at winniecatalano.com/book, and we can see if this is a good fit. And if not, I hope you're doing the 5-day Trust Your Body Challenge this week. Let me know if you found this episode helpful, if you'd like me to go in depth on anything, if you want me to do sort of a whole thing on different ways to cope with your emotions, yada, yada. Of course, I'm going to be doing more interviews coming up with therapists because I love therapists. I love it all. I love feelings. They're so great. I just think they're awesome. And if you can also learn to just really appreciate your feelings for what they're doing for you and really appreciate, like, wow, I feel sad right now and that's okay. Or wow, I feel really stressed right now and I'm allowed to be stressed. I'm allowed to be sad. I'm allowed to be tired. I'm allowed to be X, Y, and Z. I'm allowed to be sad and angry and like all of it, you know? You are allowed to have any feelings that you're having. That's cool. Don't shame yourself for them because it just makes it 1,000 times worse. Give yourself that permission. It is so freeing and you will move through it a lot quicker if you're able to just allow yourself to react emotionally in whatever way you need to and then unpack it, understand it, let it go and move on. It's so good. So happy to expand on these in future episodes. I hope you enjoyed this one and I will talk to you soon. If you are loving the Trust Your Body Project podcast and are ready to dive headfirst into your healing transformation, head on over to whitneycatalano.com/food-freedom to learn more about working with me. whitneycatalano.com/food-freedom.